Extra, extra, extra! Welcome to Revolutionary Podcast Utena, where one kind of expert and one total newbie watch Revolutionary Girl Utena and talk about it for your enjoyment. I'm Randy.
Go guy, go guy, go guy.
I'm Jared.
Hey Jared, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Just watched 3 episodes of Revolutionary Girl Utena with you.
That's right. It's the highlight of my day.
Ah, man. I never remember the name of the song, but I call it like Revolutionary Girl Apocalypse Destiny song. Stuck at, like, it crossed my mind earlier today. It's like, wow, that just came out of nowhere.
So, you're talking about the Absolute Destiny Apocalypse that plays every episode before the battle. Okay.
Yes. Something epic must have been happening in my life. I must have been going up the stairs or something.
Just making your way up to the second floor and just dun 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 dun, dun.
Basically.
Good. It's infected your brain. That was the goal all along.
Oh man. That's quite a goal.
That's good. Anything else new you want to talk about and share?
Let's see. At the time of recording this, it is the holidays. So happy holidays, everybody. Right. Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate.
Hitting them all. There you go.
Yeah.
And New Year. We're just a few days away from 2022, which will be the 25th anniversary of Revolutionary Girl Utena. So that'll be exciting.
Yes. I saw something, I believe it was yesterday. Was yesterday the anniversary of the last episode being streamed in, well, not streamed, but broadcast in Japan?
It was actually Christmas Eve was the anniversary.
The 24th. What a Christmas gift.
Right.
Everyone was sitting at home with their Christmas cake and their KFC, and they sat down to watch that.
Like, exactly. What better way to celebrate?
Yes. I hope the last episode is a Christmas-themed episode.
It's a Christmas-themed Nanami episode, and we can all be very excited for that.
Yes, the series actually ends, and then the final episode is... It's like the first half is a beach episode with Nanami, and then the last half will be a Christmas episode.
Well, she has an egg, which we'll talk about later, but it hatches and it becomes a chicken, and then they fry it for Christmas.
Oh, wow. Full circle. This whole anime is just an advertisement for KFC.
The last episode is actually just a big advertisement. They've got the logos everywhere.
They had an ad deal going with, I don't know, let's just say Mos Burger or something like that with the cow episodes. But then they said, no more beef. Now it's chicken.
Yes. Oh, that would be wild. I don't have a lot super new other than one weird thing that was pretty exciting. I've been big into VR for a few months, and then last week I ordered a pair of prescription lenses to put in because I wear glasses, and I usually just wear them with my VR headset, which is fine, just not optimally comfortable. So I got these to try that out and got them last night, and oh man, big game changer. It's so comfortable, crystal clear. Gosh, it's great.
Now you can watch the Utena film in a virtual theater.
I mean, I did that with Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.0, and that was very cool.
Was the film like a TV broadcast, or was it an actual movie in theaters?
It was a theatrical film.
Oh, wow. So do you need to like download a theater room from like the 90s in Japan and relive the experience? That
Get some popcorn. Wait, is popcorn a traditional movie theater snack in Japan as well?
Yes, it's there. I think there's like different toppings you can get though. But yeah, there's popcorn.
Japanese mayo and...
I think it's more like caramel or chocolate, but I don't know.
Okay, I wanted to be funny.
I walked into a movie theater in Japan once, but it turns out they didn't have any later showing, so just kind of walked in and left, but I remember seeing concessions. I was also supposed to see the Chihayafuru live-action movie in Japan, but plans were averted that day, so still hasn't happened. But maybe if they ever replay that Utena film, we should just hop on a plane once COVID's gone and we'll just go watch Utena over there. Maybe they'll put it back in theaters for the 25th anniversary.
Ooh, that would be a trip.
Actually, I could see like Fathom Events maybe trying to do that in the States.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
That's true. Huh. That would be very cool. I'd definitely be down to do that. Also, I really need to seriously consider getting tickets to Belle, the new Mamoru Hosoda film, because that's just going to be in a couple of weeks.
I know. Yes, I will definitely be seeing that. I don't know if I want to see it in Japanese or English, though. I would prefer to see it in Japanese, but I know if I get friends to go, they'd want to see it in English, and I believe they adapted the songs for it. So either way.
Oh, that's always good.
Yeah, either way, it's probably a decent experience. So
yeah. Well, let's get the show on the road with the show we're here to talk about, Jared.
Oh, I get the joke. On the road. Because this is now a car anime.
This is actually a prequel to Fast and the Furious. except for it's the Fast and the overtly sexual.
This is the Tokyo Drift of anime. So here we go.
Yes. There we go. Put that on the poster. We're going to be going through the entire series of Revolutionary Girl Utena and the film. And we're going to talk about each episode in a very spoilery fashion. We're not going to talk about spoilers later on in the series because Jared, this is his first time. So we're going to be respectful of that. And we're just going to do it a bit at a time. And if you'd like to watch the show along with us, which I highly recommend you do, you can find it all on Nozomi Entertainment's YouTube channel, except for the movie. Same thing for on Funimation Now and Crunchyroll. You can watch the TV series, but not the movie. Of course, you can always pick up the Blu-rays and DVDs released by Nozomi Entertainment at Right Stuff, Amazon, or wherever else you get your anime. And it's enough free shilling for these companies. Let's jump into it. we're going to start off today talking about episode 25, Their Eternal Apocalypse, which aired September 17th, 1997. Jared, would you do the honors of telling us what happened in this episode?
Sure. Akio insists that Anthy and Utena move into his residence. Meanwhile, he and the recuperated Toga set up their plans of manipulating the duelist to fight Utena. Their first target is Sayonji, who has become suspicious of the nature of the duels and mistrustful of the end of the world. Akio and Toga take him on a midnight ride. Midnight ride. in Akio's car, which it doesn't say here, but it has a license plate on it that says Otori.
Yes.
Where Toga reminds Sayonji of the night they found a girl in a coffin who wanted to believe in something eternal. Believing that Akio saved the girl by showing her eternity, Sayonji enthusiastically duels Utena. The Sword of Dios appears in the middle of the fight, but Utena now has the inner strength to fight on her own, and Anthy has now become willing to help her discover it.
We should say the Sword of Dios disappears, not appears in the middle of the fight. Oh. It leaves her in the middle of the battle, and then she needs to get her own.
Yes, if I said appears, well, the sword did appear, but then it quickly vanished.
Yes, there you go. Good save. This episode was storyboarded by Takuya Igarashi, directed by Shingo Kaneko, written by Yoji Enokido, and animation supervised by three people. Some more returning faces, Masahiro Aizawa, Shinya Hasegawa, and Hiroshi Nagahama, most likely because this episode debuted a lot of new bank animation, so those are all handled by different people.
And most likely because it had all that car animation, so...
Yeah, we gotta get the car person on. They gotta draw all these sweet cars.
Oh my god.
This director's commentary is a bit long, and there's actually two characters in it, so I think it'd be best if you and I split it. I know I just had you read the episode intro, but... Okay. Out of nowhere, Sayonji comes back all powered up. Why did he power up? Because he rode in the acting chairman's car, of course. So why does riding in his car let someone power up? The staff had this conversation during work on the episode. Sorry.
Okay.
A was a salaryman at a certain small to mid-sized company. He was clever at his job, so the company considered him an asset. But he was unable to stay motivated about his work. This isn't the work that I want to do. Stealing his resolve, he went to the CEO and spoke his mind, saying, I'd like to quit.
Now, slow down there. Why don't you have dinner with me tonight?
And so, A was taken to a certain sushi restaurant. The restaurant had no sign in front and was set back slightly from the road. It was the type of restaurant that didn't serve patrons without an introduction. This was the first time A had been to a sushi restaurant that wasn't the conveyor belt type. He'd always thought of a sushi restaurant as a place with menus or where the ingredients available were listed on a board behind the chefs, but in this restaurant, the choices weren't written down. Despite this, A's chef placed one piece of sushi after another in front of him, without him having to place any orders, like chutoro or kanpachi, always at just the right time. And that wasn't all. Each piece melted in his mouth like no conveyor belt sushi he'd ever tasted. This is what an exclusive restaurant is like! At this point, the CEO, who had been sitting silently beside him and having a drink with his supper, began to speak. The CEO wasn't eating any sushi. He was drinking and grazing on some sashimi.
Isn't this place good?
Huh? Yes, sir.
With me at your side, you can come to places like this every week. And what's more...
Every week?
Shall we move on to the next place?
Gulp. The two of them vanished into the busy streets glittering with neon. The next day... A appears at work with the bright, shining face of a whole new man. I'm not the same man I was yesterday.
Huh?
As I've seen everything, I know how this world is set up now, and that's why I'm here. And from that day forward, A's motivation skyrocketed. He'd completely forgotten about quitting the company. Apparently something like that happened. Huh? Why does he ride on the hood of the car, you ask? Well, if you want to know that, you'd better come along. It does not answer the question of why Akio revs up the car, pushes it to like 90 kilometers an hour, and then front flips onto the hood of the car. Oh, Jared, this was the start of a new arc, so we've got a whole bunch of new stuff. And I assume that you have some good notes about our new journey here. What things did you want to talk about?
I want to talk about that director's commentary.
Okay, sure.
There's a word for that type of sushi where the chef, just puts... the like one piece of sushi like at a time, like presented to you. It's basically like the chef's special. I am looking it up.
Okay.
And I probably won't find it too quickly. But if you look for it in the States, I know, if you can find it, that kind of sushi is usually a few $100s. Like you sit down and it's a specialty. Bothers me, I can't find it, but that is okay. Oh, is it omakase? Let me look that word
up. I think that's correct.
I used to pronounce that omakase, and then I realized I was totally wrong. Oh, so it literally means I'll leave it up to you, omakase. So, yes, omakase sushi. That's what that was all about. So I kind of like this one. Finally, there's a commentary that kind of makes sense. No, this one... Right, so like Sionji, he's done with everything.
He's not gonna duel no more.
No, he's like he's just done. We learn this later, but apparently he's just like camping out in the woods. But he does remember receiving like a letter, I believe, from Soji, from our previous arc. I believe you said it was Soji when we were watching it.
Yes. Yep.
But he's suspicious of it all. And of course I missed like the first moment of this episode where Utena is like moving in with Anthy to Akio's weird place, kind of like wherever that is, which is somewhere at the school.
Yes.
Presumably higher up somewhere.
Yeah, his big old tower.
His big old
tower. Very phallic.
Yes. I wonder why. So, you know, there's more like weird Anthy vibes in the observatory. Akio's being a creeper with Utena up there.
That's right, grabbing her by the shoulder and pulling her in tight while he talks about Lucifer and the Morning Star.
Right, and we have this moment where Toga is back, and he's actually talking now, like normal.
Mm-hmm.
And we get some really interesting car stuff.
Just a couple of pretty boys with their shirts undone, driving at midnight.
Yes, and I feel like I saw that as like a gift somewhere, or maybe you sent it to me, or I have no clue, but I saw that recently and I was like, wait, what is this from? Why are they riding in a car with his shirt undone? So this car thing happens, and I was telling you while we were watching this that it seems like this is like the elevator ride, the elevator of doom, maybe. Yes. for this arc. It seems like it is, because it is quite a car ride that changes things.
Oh, yeah.
So we're getting a lot of information. It sounds like Sionji is putting together that Akio may be the like end of the world, but also seems like Akio is driving them towards end of the world. So something
revealed to them.
What's that revealed?
To reveal it to them.
Ah, so something's happening here, and Akio just jumps across the front of his vehicle as he's revving this beautiful car. it's such a strange like moment, but it's hilarious. And they all have their shirts undone.
Of course, it's very it's very strange, but it's very surreal. There we go. And it's just fun and goofy. And I mean, besides just that surface level stuff, like I said, there's some sexual connotations to things, revealing themselves to each other, this close intimacy.
It's also revealed that Toga is saying that Akio was the one who showed Utena something eternal as a child when she was in the coffin.
Right.
Where we always thought, I think we always believed it was Toga.
Right, during the end of the first arc when we were going over that. And then Toga was the last one to be seen with Utena. So then the next day when Utena was out of the coffin, the two boys were on the hillside, and Sionji thought that maybe it was Toga who had done that. And of course, Toga this whole time has been, oh, I'm the prince. I was the one that did that.
Uh-huh. So that happens, right? And whatever happened in these moments, right? So the next day, Sionji is like a whole new rejuvenated
bastard
of a man. Who's probably slapping people, pushing people around, grabs Anthony. I mean,
he does slap Mickey.
Okay, yes, right. And pulls Anthony over to him, and he's like, you're mine now. We also get a reveal that apparently you don't have to use the stairs to go up to the platform to duel.
Right. An elevator has appeared, which Mickey first discovered but hasn't really used. But now it's new duel time because Utena challenges Sionji and then takes this new elevator up.
Right. Yeah, so they get up there, and every time there's a duel, there's always like a different background theme. You know, we had those moving desks before that had different items from someone's past or whatever. And in the first season, the first arc, I don't even remember what it was, right? But
I don't believe there were any items. It was
just a duel.
Just the dueling arena.
Well, it doesn't matter anymore because now there's vehicles all everywhere. Over the place. There are cars all over the place. You know, the student council, whenever they have their meetings now, there's like some awkward stuff happening up there. Baseball.
Like a baseball practice.
That train went by.
Right.
I wonder if like the closer they get to this castle, if either there's just like not much oxygen, so they're seeing things, or if there's something else happening, but the car is up there. There's cars all over the place, and a duel happens with Sionji.
Yes.
Sionji. Sorry, Sionji.
Sionji, there we go.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But the duel has some serious things that happen. Utena, who's always used the sword of Dios, the sword just disappears.
Yep, Dios is done with this bullshit. He's just like, flying cars, moving cars, gondola elevators instead of the stairs. I'm taking the sword away.
And then we have some callback to something earlier in the episode where now Utena is trying to just stay out of Sionji's sword's way, because obviously that's dangerous. And we go back to that night where Utena and Anthy were talking about their problems, and Utena told Anthy, whenever you run into something tough, I want you to come to me first, and we're going to help each other get through this. And Anthy, who's just kind of this, not even a person, she's just an object there at the arena before her eyes kind of shift and awaken, and she jumps in to save Utena from getting cut up, which is not a thing we've seen happen before.
Mm. Yeah, so that happens, and it's like, oh, a moment of free will. Something happened here.
Mm-hmm.
And she pulls a sword out of Utena's chest, which it's always been Utena getting the sword of Dios out of Anthy. So right. This was new, brand new sword. We had a lot of new animation coming up, like going up into the top of the tower, into the arena as well. They're wearing lipstick now, I believe, right?
Right. So, yep, that's right. When Anthy pulls the sword out, rather than saying, grant me the power to revolutionize the world, it's grant us the power.
Yes. Yes. So, okay. That happens. I put a note in here, there are flying cars everywhere. And
there's one zooming around the rim of the stage at all times.
Yeah, the coolest car of all. once Utena gets that sword, there's like all of the lights on the cars turn on, and that helps to like glow up the whole area. And like, you know, the power of whatever that spirit is of the prince or whatever that is, the power of Dios comes down like it has from the castle, the upside down castle. And it, you know, gives Utena that extra boost. We don't really see the final moments of the battle, but we just know that she wins.
We hear a screeching car.
Right.
And then we see the car with like the skid marks and Sionji laid out like he got hit by said car.
Yeah. We get some cool animation, too. I believe, like, the lights move almost kind of like an Akira bike thing. You know, they stretch the lights out and all these weird moments for, like, very new to this series. All these moments happen, and, yeah, Utena wins, which is great. But
we can't forget that there's some people watching the match.
Oh, I know. I wrote the note that Akio and Toga are rolling around in a bed on top of a building.
Yes.
Watching this happen.
With their shirts completely removed, I believe. So
yes. They're literally rolling around. Like the last time we saw them, they were just watching with like binoculars or something, or they're just observing the battle pretty much normally. And then suddenly, like, we see them again and they're just rolling around essentially with their shirts off.
Something is afoot with these two, I tell you.
Something's afoot with all of these people. especially with the last moment of this episode, which is pretty weird. Akio gets real creepy again with Anthy, who, like, I think she was trying to leave the room. I can't quite remember, but he's like, no. And he grabs her and then implies that they get it on. So,
right.
That's something.
Yeah.
A little interesting out there. So,
there's a very specific moment at the beginning of the episode that I'm like, don't like that, which is after they've moved in and Wakaba shows up and they're just all hanging out and chatting. Anthy has a moment where she actually like laughs at like something that Utena or Wakaba said, and they're just having a good time. And we show Akio, who's just sternly looking down at her, laughing and having a good time. It's like, that's intense and like very bad vibes from this. So, yeah, I mean, he's not just the standing chairman for the school.
He's also the school's professional driver.
Yeah, exactly. Giving cars to children because he's like, hey, Toga, why don't you take the wheel? It's like, I'm not old enough to drive. It's like, oh, you're such a good boy.
Yeah, this episode had a lot of strange concepts, but I mean, I don't dislike it at all when it comes to the car. The car vehicle stuff is hilarious. Like,
oh, yeah.
Especially Akio having his hair down and like in the wind, and he just like jumps across the hood for no reason as it's going very fast, and it's like
leaving nobody at the driver's wheel.
I've never been a fan of when people have theories that like every character is dead in a show, especially when those theories are way off. But maybe I think he's just killing all these people now. I don't know what's going on. They like haven't obviously revealed. I'm hoping if this follows a format like the other arcs, I'm hoping that in the last episode or two of this arc, we'll see what happens at the end of that ride. So that's, and hopefully they don't just hit a wall. So, my God.
literally and figuratively.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, we don't have much to go. I mean, granted, this is just episode one of this arc, but this arc is short. It's only 9 episodes. So we're really only going to have 3 sessions here on the podcast talking about this one. So we'll move through it at a pretty good clip.
Gotcha.
Is there anything else you wanted to bring up about this one before we move on?
No. Although it is the first episode that features that really interesting repeating animation that we've now seen in a few of these episodes, where Anthea and Utena like share a room together, and when they lay down, like they cross the shadows, and then they're like holding hands in this very strange bed as they face each other. And I it was funny when we were watching this episode, because I totally missed for some reason, like the first few lines, I think, is when they reveal that they're moving in. And I totally missed that, because it's like, oh, there's a lot going on, and I'm just going to start taking notes, and what episode are we on? And it's a new arc. And then like I see that, and I was talking to you, Randy, it's like, hey, what? Why did they get new beds in the dorm? You're just like, they moved. Oh, okay. That makes sense. I was so confused.
It's really nice. I like this because we don't really, despite them being the main character of the show, I don't think we've gotten a lot of more intimate moments between the two of them where they're both vulnerable. And, you know, laying in bed, I mean, you can't get much more vulnerable than that. I'm like, having conversations with each other. I mean, we'll talk about that more as we go through this, because
I mean,
like every episode so far has featured a time at night where they go to bed and they just have conversations with each other.
I mean, I agree with you, but at the same time, I don't trust Anthea at all because of what we know about her so far.
Right.
And I do not know if she is sincere, if she is actually feeling vulnerable, or if she's being told to feel vulnerable. I just feel like she's being completely manipulated and controlled by Akio. So I do not know if I actually trust this.
That's very good position to have, Jared. Yeah, I will tell you that.
It's very difficult
for me too, because I've seen this show before and I know where things go. So it's very fun for me doing this second watch through where I know where things are going and like, aha, okay. But I have to stay silent on that because this is your first time and I don't want to ruin that for you.
Yeah. Well,
I think, you know, it's just watching a television show, but Jared, I think you're doing a very good job at watching this show.
Well, that's also nice, because if my wife tells me that I miss things all the time in shows, and it's mostly because I'm intensely watching and taking notes. I should start taking notes for everything I watch.
You're taking notes and you're thinking hard about things, and then more information gets thrown at you. You're like, what? Hold on, I was too busy concentrating on that other thing that happened.
I was too busy concentrating on all of the hairless chests of the men of the vehicles and cars and dueling arenas.
Oh, jeez. Well, we've still got 2 more episodes to talk about, but first let's take a quick break here, and then we'll talk about the next 2 when we get back. Okay, we're moving on to episode 26. This episode is Mickey's Nest Box, The Sunlit Garden Arranged, which aired on September 24th, 1997. Jared, what happened in this one?
In spite of her outward delinquent personality, Kozue risks her life to save a nest of baby birds because she identifies with their loneliness and helplessness. I did not pick that up when we watched that. They told me it's because they're cutting down the tree, Randy. Both she and Miki feel abandoned because their parents divorced when they were young, and their father is now remarrying. Akio, Toga, and Kozue induce these insecure but moralistic Miki to rejoin the dueling game, becoming dirty in order to survive in a dirty world.
This episode was storyboarded by Jun Matsumoto, directed by Yukio Okazaki, written by Yoji Enokido, and animation supervised by Akemi Hayashi. Shorter director's commentary by Ikuhara here for this episode, which is, of course, I read in a book once.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God, no.
Damn it. I read in a book once that wild animals have a mother and child ritual of bite parting. Once the child has stopped breastfeeding, the mother suddenly bites, attacks, and chases the child out of her territory. Apparently, they do this instinctively to avoid inbreeding. Now let's try taking end of the world as a metaphor for real society, though now this seems like one of those demonstrational programs on TV. A certain girl says she's got a new brand name handbag out of a one-night stand with end of the world. Here's what she says. When everything around you is impure, you'll have to become impure as well. The only way to get what you want is to lose your purity. Why don't they bite each other, right? Why do they remain there? Could that place that will never lose its purity hold, quote, their own personal eternity? All right. All right, buddy.
So that has to do with Kozue and Miki? I mean...
Kozue and Akio, I believe. But maybe.
So who's biting who?
Maybe it is Kozue and her parents. So
I read a book once.
I saw this movie. I was watching TV. Like, this man is so busy.
Oh, man.
So, what do you have to say about this episode here?
Not as much as the first episode we talked about, because I feel like I'm catching on to the Utena vibes here, where once you see that first episode in an arc and it reveals itself, they start playing themselves out, and then you have the characters you already know or you've been introduced to, and they basically just follow the same kind of events. And Utena always wins. So basically, yeah, the relationship between like Miki and Kozue, I think it's interesting, although like when I think about the first episode with the piano and the music and Miki trying to like rediscover that sound, that music of the piano with Kozue, I feel like that was like pretty effective. But since then, the episodes with them they've been okay, but just kind of like filling in the gap for the need of the episode. Like I don't really like Kozue, so I don't know if I'm supposed to feel a whole lot. Like, I think it's like an awkward relationship between them, because at first Kozue, like earlier in the series, wants nothing to do with Miki. And now it seems like she has like a strange separation issue with him and the parents and stuff. So there's maybe you have a better feel of like what's going on with like their relationship and the absence of their parents. But for me, I just feel like it kind of was, you know, it's just like another quick plot point to get us to the duel. But
I will say that I agree, and I'm not sure if there's something I missed that really filled more things in, but I feel like so far the Miki Kozue thing, their whole situation, even though we've got this new wrinkle in that their parents are divorced and their father is remarrying, that it doesn't feel like we're learning anything new and we're just kind of going through the motions from last time. Because it's, I don't know, it's just a very similar situation.
The last episode we saw them in, I believe, was episode 15. And I took notes on Miki and Kozue. And that Kozue was finally jealous of Anthy because, Miki was playing piano and all that and wants to basically be with Anthy. And she goes down that elevator of doom for her own personal psychological therapy interview. that battle happened, and it doesn't really seem like that. Even like that episode, episode 15, it doesn't really feel like it was just like the basic theme of jealousy in this case. And now we're like, I mean, we're building up these characters. It makes sense that, you know, we have them, so keep it rolling. I always just wanted a little more from Miki, because I always liked that first note that I took on him. Like, after his first episode, I was thinking, oh man, he's gonna like dissolve the student council and he's gonna be this character that becomes friends with Anthy and Utena. I was thinking maybe be more of along those lines for the anime series, but really it didn't go that way at all. I mean, he was he's always friendly with them, and you could definitely say that they are friends, but it wasn't, you know, he's still a part of the student council, you know, he still participates. So it's just, that's just the natural structure of the series. So I don't really have much else to say on them. It's just Kozue, I think her outfit later on is cool.
Oh, yeah, where she's wearing a blue variant of the Rose Bride outfit.
Yeah, there's stuff like that. But I guess before we get to that, I do think it's interesting, in the middle of this episode, the student council, we're showing them again, and that they are trying to figure out what's actually going on. Because mm-hmm. they realize that Seonji was totally against the battles, because, I mean, he made that clear. And then all of a sudden, for something triggered inside of him to duel again, right? Which is the car ride.
Yeah.
And then we get, in this episode, we have Miki is taken on a car ride, and Kozue is there as well. And right. That was interesting. And Miki actually figures out that it's Akio who did something. Right. And we didn't talk about it in the last episode, but we see a repeating animation where like if a character puts their hand on Akio's shoulder, where I thought maybe it was Akio's hand who was driving. See, I thought it was Akio's hand who was driving, and it's one of the pink the rose rings, but it's actually just, you know, the student council members with their rings. But when
I want to go back and take a look at that, not specifically that, but in the moments leading up to it, because both Seonji and Miki were like, I don't care about this dueling game anymore, I'm out. So I'm wondering if they weren't wearing the rings anymore, and now when they have their hand on his shoulder, the ring is back. Like, you know, he's convinced them to join back into the game, and now their ring has suddenly reappeared.
Maybe, because we haven't even, I don't think we've gotten like a confirmation that their rings were gone.
Right, that's why I was like, I need to go look back in the earlier parts of those episodes to see if they're wearing them or not, and then if they reappear after they've been riding in the car.
But they get, you know, they both got suspicious, and when they basically put their hand on Akio, that there's a realization or a moment that they're like, wait, who are you, or where are we going? And then Akio is like, hey baby, we're going to the end of the world, and he just jumps on the hood of his car again. But this time Kozue was there, right? So
yes,
but
she had talked about, you know, becoming dirty in order to make it through a dirty world, and her tie and stuff was undone, and her shirt was a little undone. So it's like, okay, well, Akio's right. also having some fun with her, I guess.
Right.
Just making his rounds.
I mean, Toga did as well, like earlier in that first yep. episode with her, I believe.
And then all of his times with Anthy.
Yes.
And pulling Utena in close on the couch.
And then, I mean, was it her tie that in the car, like, it hits
yes.
hits what Miki's
Miki
eyes
in the face,
and I'm like, wow, he can't see what's happening. That's right, he's just a young lad. And then it's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, so that all happens. They probably hit a wall after that, and then so the duel happens, where we get to see that cool outfit we were talking about.
Right.
It was really interesting that there was two characters up there. I don't think we've seen too many duels where...
No, this is the first time where we're
right.
We're in pairs. We're doing double duels. With Utena and Anthy, and now Kozue and Miki. Kozue pulling the sword out of Miki and giving it to him this time, rather than forcefully taking it like in the Black Rose arc.
Yes. Battle happens, and it was pretty entertaining. You know, it was kind of similar to the one with Seonji, except as the car's going around the like outer edge of this arena, Kozue's in it, and I'm like, well, that's yep. dangerous. And then Anthy shows up, and just like a lot of duels we've seen in the past, like if a character gets distracted, they typically lose. But this time Kozue actually like references that to Miki, like, don't get distracted or you're gonna lose. Because like the seat's reclining, and she's basically like going down with Anthy in this car.
Yep.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, Miki loses.
Yeah, of course. Car crash, and now we've got Miki laying out, and then Kozue half hanging out of the driver's seat, as if, you know, she was the one that drove the car into him, which is interesting because Kozue was in the passenger seat while Anthy was in the driver's seat, and now Anthy is not there, but Kozue was in the driver's seat.
Yeah, yep, that happened.
And then the end of it is we see that Miki is still alive. He's putting up the birdhouse And then Kozue walks by and calls him a coward and then leaves, and that's the end.
Right. And they also revealed in that last moments, or was it earlier in that episode with the phone call with the parents, that
right,
that Anthy was actually talking, I believe, as the mother? Or as mm-hmm. the future...
bride-to-be, their future stepmom.
Right. Exactly. I mean, the dad was there? That was confusing. Yes. You know, again, it could be metaphorical. You know, it was like, wouldn't it make sense if it was Akio and Anthy? But they showed, like, the father figure and Anthy as the stepmom figure. That was just interesting. Yet another thing of her being like a puppet and playing all these roles. So that just adding that to the list of, I don't trust her at all. All of those like moments, it definitely interesting, necessary for the overall plot. If anything, the one thing we got out of this episode that I think was extremely important was that we were told that Utena is the golden goose.
Yes, that's right. Toga calls her the golden goose.
The golden goose who lays the golden eggs.
Which is what Akio is after, these golden eggs of hers. What are these eggs?
Speaking of eggs.
Yes. We move into episode 27, Nanami's Egg, which aired October 1st, 1997. Jared, why don't you tell us all of the kooky things that happen here?
Okay. Nanami wakes up one day and finds an egg in her bed and assumes she must have laid it. She frets over what to do with it and finally decides to raise it as her own.
Oh, God. Storyboarded by Hiroshi Nishikiori, directed by Hayato Date, written by Ryota Yamaguchi, and animation supervised by Takahiro Tanaka and Yumi Nakayama. Another short director's commentary here, but let's dive into it so we can talk about the episode. I wanted to use a song called Blue Light Yokohama in this episode, but I was told it was impossible because of rights issues. I still regret that. As to why I wanted that particular song, I think it's probably because this episode reminds me of the adult dramas I saw on TV as a little kid. In other words, this is a story about childhood dreams, and I want to be an adult story. Anthy's sad expression in that last scene. Becoming an adult means learning countless sad truths. For some things, it's best to not think too deeply about them.
I like that he only references Anthy in the last moment. Like, she's only in this episode for, well, a little bit, but she's only, like, sad and, like, making that expression for, like, 5 seconds at the end.
Yes.
What's the purpose of this episode beyond that?
I mean, there are theories, and we could talk about those after the series gets there. But Nanami's Egg, we've got another Nanami episode, which I know that in the last time when we finished the Black Rose arc, I had asked, do you want to know how many Nanami episodes there are left? And you said, no, I want to be surprised. So here it is. Here's one of them. Nanami lays an egg, and she has to go through all of these strange things of figuring out, okay, who can I tell? How do I deal with this? What will people think of me?
The only feeling I have towards this episode is I took one note, and this one note was Nanami's egg, because I will remember this episode as Nanami's egg, just like I remember the curry episode, the octopus thing. I'll never forget that. The Kalbadu, Kausti and Dior.
Thank you. Good.
The diary episode. there could be one I'm forgetting, but
I think you've got it.
You know, and then there was that, I guess that was the dress episode. Well, so Nanami's egg, I don't really have much to say on this. I wasn't really expecting another like filler episode with Nanami. This didn't really do much to push plot, obviously, like forward. I mean, especially when the arcs are getting a little more tighter with how many episodes there are and how we're getting right more information. So like this episode was definitely different from the, you know, 25 and 26, because those episodes, they do follow that same pattern that we're talking about in the first two arcs, where you get an episode, it reveals like the plot structure, they follow the similar bank animation. But at the same time, the car ride reveals more than just like repeating values. Like every time someone got in the elevator, it didn't really reveal too much because it was, you already knew what was up with that character. Whereas like each time we're getting in this vehicle, we're getting things revealed to us. This episode just kind of just had this weird egg moment. I think it had like some laughs, right?
Right.
Just, but I don't have anything deep to say about this episode, except it got really weird near the end, where apparently it was all a dream, but maybe not because the egg was still there in bed. what do you think about this episode?
So I knew that we were coming up to this one, and I know that it's one that people talk about a lot, or at least make jokes, dating the episode again. But recently there's been a big meme of a wizard pondering his orb, and it's just this illustration of a wizened, bearded wizard who's just sitting in a big ornate chair, and then on the table in front of him is this blue glowing orb that's casting light over everything, and he's just in thought staring at it. It's a wizard pondering his orb, and I had seen somebody who had changed the meme, and instead of a bearded old man, it's Nanami, and instead of the orb, it's the egg. Just sort of like, did I lay this? What do I do with it? It's very goofy.
This meme, I have not seen this yet, and I just looked it up. Yeah. I'm going to try to see if I can type
find the Nanami one.
Nanami, because that's funny.
This episode, you know, a lot of the Nanami ones have been always over the top and goofy, and this one certainly has a lot of those jokes. Maybe, I don't know if it's just like how I'm approaching it, but I feel like this episode humanizes her a lot more than it just being just so goofy and like, oh, she's just an evil person and she's just getting her just desserts. Because, like, I don't know, I feel like she's really working through this, and the way this episode handles the whole egg situation, depending on who she's talking to or thinking about, it takes on a whole new meaning of what the egg is a metaphor for. Like with her friends, it's about reaching puberty like later than everybody else,
right?
Because they talk about like, oh, I've laid eggs before. Yeah, I've had a ton of them. Wow, you're super late at this. Oh, you're just such a sad person. So it's like, you know, works in that way. Same thing for Jury. It's about maturity. I believe she talks to, gosh, is it Toga? Yeah, I believe it's Toga, and mm-hmm. she frames it as, you know, she's a mother and like how to take care of children, which he misinterpreted as thinking that, she, you know, because she's like, oh, you know, if it was a girl, what do you think about girls? And he's like, well, I prefer them. And she's like, oh, me too. And he goes into an interesting speech about God made man and women specifically. It's because they fit perfectly together, and that no matter how good it feels, you can't do these sorts of things, which is funny coming from a dude two episodes ago rolling around in bed with a grown adult man.
But that's funny.
But yeah, I just feel like this episode humanizes her more for this, because she's like, I don't know, she's taking it very seriously. I mean, granted, it's a very goofy and surreal episode, but I don't know, it just made me feel more for her than the other ones had, where I was just like, oh, you silly girl.
I purposefully did not put any notes down for this, because I just have this like sense that when it's a Nanami episode that I could take notes, but they just don't seem to go very far. And I guess I do see where you're coming from, that she was humanized more as a character with certain things that are happening. But I also find that her lack of like maturity and life experience basically has her just constantly going down the wrong paths with information. And she kept like disappearing from these people before she heard like the last thing they had to say. So it's like she got most of the lesson, but not the full lesson. I mean, I guess it just kind of rounds out Nanami again as this very interesting character. Like, we've gotten every like episode we've had with her has really given us like another angle from being like a pretty treacherous character at first, being really awful to Anthy, to her jealousy and feelings for her brother, to the Kaushi and Dior episode, which seemed to have been more about being the star of the show, by having that party put on and the necklace that she had to outdo Jury, and it turns out it's just like a cowbell, right? Then it takes its own path. This episode, right, I think it just showed that she was kind of gullible to like information, but it was also almost trying to like be a growing up episode experience. So like everything we get with her is a different take on your filler episodes that, like, I know we joked about this, but like, you know, usually you get your beach episode and you get your Christmas episode and you get these certain types of filler episodes that are pretty strong archetypes or, you know, repetition within anime. But in this one, like, their filler tends to be growing up or just strong one-sided angles of Nanami. And then if you put them all together in the end, you get some probably sad, broken character. So it's interesting, but at the same time, I'm like, we got like a preview for the next episode, which is a Jury, you know, episode, and I'm like, oh man, I wish that was this episode. So
it I can understand, because I think that's the second time you've brought that up whenever we finish a Nanami episode and you see the next episode preview and you say, oh, I wish that was the one I was watching. It makes me wonder, do you not enjoy these? And when it finds out, oh, it is a Nanami episode, do you kind of find yourself checking out a bit? Or
this one, I think I did. If I go back to, was it episode 24, was the Suwabuki episode with the diary. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of funny because I considered that a Nanami episode, even though it's Suwabuki. I check out a little bit. I think it was almost impossible to check out from the cow episode. That one.
Oh yeah, of course.
I mean, if the egg episode is really memorable, I think it's memorable, but the cow episode is probably one of the most memorable things I've ever seen in this show. Because it's so ridiculous. This one seemed to kind of to ride that vibe. I'm looking back at my episodes, at my notes from that episode 16, Sebastian Dior. I don't know, I just didn't feel like it was worth like taking too many notes, because they don't tend to like go anywhere.
No, that's totally fair. You know, I'm just trying to figure out your approach to it. As somebody who's seen it the show before, I don't have that pushing drive of like, I want to see what happens next and I want to know what's going to happen for this viewing. But certainly I can see it in a first viewing of like, okay, the Nanami stuff is funny, but like, we're getting close to the end. I need answers. So I would feel that I could understand if there's a bit of impatience or like, oh man, I could have spent my time watching this cool new Jury episode instead of this goofy egg BS.
Yeah, and then if this is the director commentary, which I know sometimes you edit.
This one I did not change.
The only thing that seems like they kind of pointed out had to do with Anthy's sad expression. And that's like at the end. And I don't even remember what she's like reacting to. Do you remember what she was reacting to at the very end of that episode? Was it Utena was there, or I can't remember.
Oh, geez. All I can do is I can picture it. I want to say she's in her uniform. So I'm thinking.
Yeah. I just remember like the look she made really stood out. And I'm like,
oh. I believe it's at Akio's place because Choo-Choo comes home.
That's right. Choo-Choo came home. Yep. Choo-Choo finally comes home, and it's like it had nothing to do with the Nanami episode. I don't really know if like this episode was super important.
With that, yes, because I have something I want to say, and I don't think it's a spoiler if you can put things together, but just to be on the safe side, I'm not going to talk about it, but I would like to remember that this egg episode with Anthy's expression at the end, and we can talk about it later.
I think that, I mean, Nanami just seems to be like the most innocent character, and she's...
I don't know, man. She drowned a cat.
Okay. In the current time frame.
Yes, of course. I mean... Under the bridge,
literally,
which is where the cat went.
Poor cat.
Yes,
I feel as if Nanami in this current time frame is an innocent character, and I wonder if like Anthy sees that innocence and like feels bad for her, because I'm wondering if Nanami's just being used like a lot of these student council members are. So like I wonder if that's where that look came from. I mean, we won't truly know unless we look up the lyrics of Blue Light Yokohama.
But, right.
But that's kind of like where I'm coming from, where I don't know if anything tragic will happen to Nanami, but yeah, I mean, this episode probably will help her develop as a character in some way. Maybe she'll be used or manipulated in the next few episodes, because usually it comes back around with Suwabuki or something mm-hmm. like that. So
exactly. I think it'll be neat to see where things go. And we'll, I'm sure that we'll talk about it when we get there. always a goofy time. Nanami and her egg. That's the ones that we're covering this time. I know that we have a long list of, predictions, and now that we've started a new arc,
mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let's go over ones that are relevant. Toga is being manipulated / isn't the big bad. I actually put a green check mark here because, like, he's riding around in the car and Akio's calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you were spot on there that
Toga
isn't the one in charge. So congratulations.
Now Toga is just, like, buddy-buddy with Akio, and I think that will harm him in the end, but at this point in time, I think it's pretty funny. It's kind of cool that there's this other guy who just seems to be in the know, finally, in addition to Akio.
Right.
Let's see. Yeah. The puppetry girls, you know what? We didn't talk about them at all, but I feel like they showed up in every episode, but I completely forgot everything they said in each episode because it doesn't mm-hmm. seem like it was relevant.
If I am remembering correctly, and I'm only saying this because I read something about it, the first episode of this arc, their puppetry thing, the show that they put on is very similar to the same one they put on in episode one of the series. Because this episode is supposed to mirror a lot of what happens in episode one, but with a lot more things revealed to us than what we knew at the start, because it is, again, Sionji.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Sionji is the one that she's going to duel, and he is possessive of Anthy and abusive, mm-hmm. and Utena will not stand for that. So we've got that, but now we know, you know, that Akio is this person that's in charge of these things. Utena and Anthy are much closer than then, because then they barely knew each other's existence, and also that Utena is actually the current person engaged to her. So yeah, it's a neat sort of mirroring of that first episode. And then, like, for the puppetry girls, the other ones, I'll agree. I didn't feel like they connected super well with things. There was the one about gambling and, like, you know, making bad decisions. But I mean, I guess, like, that's what these children in this whole series do. They're making bad decisions with limited information. And then the Nanami's egg one, I can't remember. Oh, they have an egg and they're like trying to open it but not break it like normal, and they like put a bunch of sticks in it. Wasn't an egg.
Yeah, wasn't an egg. It was just a metaphor. So
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at our other predictions too. We're still not really sure about exactly what's happening with Anthy, if Akio's brainwashing. Mm-hmm. It'd be kind of funny if Anthy was just in charge of everything. And,
right.
And
now,
Akio,
you had actually mm-hmm. said something while we were watching, and I'm not sure if you meant it as a serious one, but you think that Akio and Anthy are not actually brother and sister.
Oh, yeah. Especially with that weird, like, implied sex scene. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that they are. I don't think the anime would take it there.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would assume that they're not brother and sister. And I guess I never really got the vibe that they were. The series just kept saying they were, but they're not. I never really believed they were.
Okay.
2 to 3 Nanami episodes left. I would say there's probably at least one more.
Okay, so then that would put it at an overall 2.
But that's tough. With 8 more in this arc. Ugh.
Well, in this arc, there's only 6 left, only 6 right. of the final arc.
Sorry. Yes, I was like one. I'd say there's probably one more. But
okay, so now we're down to one more, which still puts you in the 2 to 3 initially. So
other than that, I mean, if I had to try to come up with a prediction about that car, there's no...
Yeah, tell me what you think about that car.
That car.
How many horsepower does it have?
Oh, my God. Enough.
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Enough to... enough to stay up on the rim of the arena.
Yeah.
That car... I think that car definitely exists. I wonder if they're just driving from, like, one side of the school to the other.
Or maybe there's just a racetrack that they just go around in a circle.
Yeah, they just haven't revealed yet that, like, the inner... I mean, there's that big, massive tree, and you've got the spire, and then this and that. I wonder if there's, like, a racetrack around there.
Yeah, why not have a racetrack, you know? The school's weird enough.
I mean, that school apparently had, like, a weird Coliseum, like, dueling table area thing that Soji was a part of, maybe. There could just be a racetrack anywhere. I mean, everything's an illusion in this show. So
they've got boxing kangaroos. Why not a place to ride your sweet motor vehicle?
Yeah. I think that my only prediction for that is that they are being taken to some kind of reveal. Something's happening to be shown end of the world. I just don't really think it's Akio. It's strange. Like, I think it is Akio, but at the same time, I don't. And I don't know if it's like Anthy's pulling the strings or if it's this Prince character that we haven't really seen since, I feel like, the beginning of the first... I'm sorry, the beginning of the second arc.
Right, maybe during the ending recap of the first episode arc. Of the first arc, where it's Akio and the Prince.
Presumably the Prince, right? Like,
presumably the Prince. He looks the same as from the flashbacks. He's wearing the same outfit.
Doesn't make like any sense, like what the benefit is for these characters. Because it see like what was it that Akio had some like line or two, or seems like they both benefit in some way, but it seems like it probably isn't quite exactly a benefit. For someone, like, it seems like there's like a tragic thing involved with this, and we just don't know what it is. It's probably all with Anthy. I know I'll feel bad for her in the end, but wait, what if she's really the evil character? See, I don't know what the reveal will be.
Just listening to you and your gears turning and your stream of consciousness, this is so fun.
Oh, I don't want Utena to be like completely... That would be an interesting series if like it just ends on like the darkest notes. But I haven't really heard that about this show, although I haven't really heard much. But I'm still curious why they made a film. Like, did they make this film because it abruptly ended? Or did they make a film because fans were so outraged that Anthy was an evil character? I don't know.
Oh, we'll just have to see. But I think that we need to bring this one to a close.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're coming to a conclusion. There's only a few more bits to go, which is very exciting. And if you're listening to the podcast as a binge, enjoy, because I'm sure it's quite the journey. Thanks to sponsors. Jared, where can people find you?
Find me on the internet at Hot Anime Vlogger.
Perfect. You can find me at Saber_Breaker. Subscribe to the show, tell your friends, post a review. And every time you watch Utena, just also listen to us. It'll be fun. We're all in this together. Together we can grant the power to grant us the power to revolutionize the world. I don't know. That's just bad.
Vroom, vroom. That's vroom, all I think. Vroom, vroom.
Take care, and we will see you guys later. Theme song Zettai Unmei Moko Shiroku, provided by Astrophysics. You can find their music on Bandcamp and YouTube, or follow them on Twitter at AstroSynth.